Hey guys, it's Jabali here. I'm so sorry. It's been almost a month since my last podcast. Last one when I was in Chicago for Frosty Faustings, a great little event. Had a great time there. Did well. I got fourth place again in a mystery tournament, yada, yada. Lots been going on. Right after that, I had to go back home and start recording. Start setting up everything for CO 2019 registration, which is already launched. I need to really start doing more of these. Disclaimer, I am currently in Australia right now, Melbourne, Australia, for my first time. We just got done. I was the tournament organizer for Pokken Tournament here in Melbourne at the Pokemon Oceania Championships, which is really cool. I've been doing events for Pokemon for the last couple years. One of my favorite events to do. I always tell them anytime they need me, please contact me. I'd love to work with them. But I've been out here. We went to an after party, had a couple beers, so you might get the uncanny side of me tonight. So today, after everything that's been going on last month, things have been crazy with registration launching, which is doing better than I imagined the first couple weeks out. Hotel is already about 40% sold out, which is record breaking in terms of everything in the past I've done with CEO. But this weekend, coming out to Australia for the first time was really exciting. I got to host the Pokken Tournament. So today I have a couple guests with me that are from the Pokken Tournament community. I'm going to introduce them in a second, but at first, a little backstory to how my connection with Pokemon happened. I actually know Chris Brown. Anybody in the Smash community is listening. He actually owns the Smashboards.com website, which is a huge forum for Smash Brothers tournaments. Still, we were talking about it. Still has like 1,000 active users at any one time, which is great for an old school forum. And he supported CO for a couple years. And then once he started working at Pokemon, he had told me in the Pokken Tournament, once it came out, he's like, hey, would you like to be interested in helping out with tournament admin duties? And the first 2 years of Pokken Tournament, CO, actually my event, was an official qualifier for the Worlds Tournament, which got some great support, production, commentary and all that stuff. So people had a really good time. And I think a couple of these guys were there, one of them or two of them. I think you were, right?
Correct.
Yeah, so we'll get to you in a second. So did that for a couple years and then decided to kind of keep it in-house at their other Pokemon events, which I'm sure a lot of Pokemon is actually one of the biggest IPs in the world. And they have their TCG, which is their tournament card game that still happens at all these events, which is still a huge industry for cards and everything. And then the VG video game side, where you play like Sun and Moon, their latest versions, or Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon on the Game Boy, 3DS still. Just had a great connection with Pokemon. I've been a fan of them forever. So anytime they have a major event, they kind of invite me out. And thanks to DC, a guy from the FGC who works at Pokemon, he gives me the opportunity to keep doing these events. And it's been great. So today I'm going to start off by introducing a couple of the guys that are here with me. I have three people with me. These are actually the official commentators here. So each of you are going to tell me your name, where you're from, actually, because we're from all over the place here. Why don't you start?
I'm H2, Michael Graff. I'm from the United States, live in Ohio.
Nice.
I'm also Michael. My name is Michael Chong. My gamer tag is Midori, and I'm from Melbourne, Australia.
And I'm Evan Michael Hashimoto, just to keep with the Michael theme. Wonder Chef, EGB Wonder Chef. I'm from Los Angeles in the United States.
Woo-hoo. Nice. And Wonder Chef, actually, I've known from the NRS games, the Mortal Kombats and the Injustices and stuff. So it's great to see you over in Pokken, because I guess nobody would hire you for Mortal Kombat stuff. sorry.
You're all wrong.
Yeah, no, but H2 actually was super helpful this weekend, especially teaching me the game, bodying me along with Hashimoto over here. Thanks, you douches. So let's talk about, so you did go to a CEO, right?
I did, actually. Yeah.
Both of them or the first one?
So yeah, I went to two of them. And actually the first one you hosted, the second one you hosted, my brother won.
Oh, nice. What was his tag?
Suicune Master.
Oh, of course. Yeah. And then he retired.
So,
how do you retire at the age of like 16?
I don't know. You decide that you want to go to school and be a pastor.
Oh, wow. He's out of the scene. So very cool. But yeah, you've been commentating. Again, all of you guys are talented for what you do. How did you get into Pokken? Like, were you from the FGC before that or anything? Or what kind of got you into it?
Actually, OG Smash community, Smash 4 community. Not well known, just kind of
really
kept,
OG,
on,
that's
kept it on
old.
The DL. Yeah, kept it on the DL. Just kind of went to various events. Actually, I know Kino from South Florida because that's where some of my family lives. And when I started doing Smash, I actually went to one of Kino's events back when DC was doing the Versus Gaming Center stuff. So, kind of bringing it full circle. They didn't know me at the time. I didn't know them at the time. just was playing Smash and doing competitive gaming. That was my kind of first introduction to competitive gaming. And then Pokken comes out and my brother is playing it. Turns out he was winning the Versus events, and I'm like, all right, let me check this out. Found out my favorite Pokemon Gardevoir is in it and said, all right, I'll pick it up.
Nice. And Midori, actually, I remember the first time we met you, man, you were super helpful at Pokemon Worlds last year.
Thank you so much.
You've not been to a CEO, correct, right? You don't really get to travel that much.
Yeah, I don't get to travel to the U.S. I've only been to the U.S. like about 3 times, actually. Yep. And but I do, I'm actually from the FGC grassroots, so all the way from Melbourne. So,
and we were talking about earlier, like Ali and the
exactly.
Anybody's listening, so, you might remember Shadaloo Showdown events from
Ali,
you know, 2012, yeah, and all that. Boss Logic, you know, look him up on Twitter. He actually used to make a couple of the CEO trailers back in the early days. Now that guy's so damn Hollywood, he doesn't talk to anybody, but he's one of like the most famous Photoshoppers in the world, and just a very talented artist. But yeah, so the first time I met you was Pokemon Worlds last year in Nashville. Were you at the Pokemon Worlds before that?
I wasn't, actually. Okay. I wasn't really involved with the community before, you know, Pokken.
Yep.
But before that, yeah, like I said, I was like, I played all sorts of fighting games since I was in my teens. So like Third Strike, Street Fighter 4. And Street Fighter 4 was really when I knew the Melbourne FGC. So I got to know, like, you know, Ali and them. And I actually dabbled with Tekken as well, played BlazBlue. So I knew like a lot of communities, and a lot of them are really great people. So, and then I moved to Japan after that, and I didn't really, you know, I played the fighting game still, but I wasn't really into the community until Pokken came out. Then, yeah.
Nice. And like I said, first met you at Worlds, you were just there as a player, right?
Yeah.
And just to support. And I remember you ended up doing more work than any translator there. you know, so Pokemon is Pokemon, just in general, all their versions of their different games are the most international you can get, where they bring translators from like every country out there, and you were helping pretty much with the Pokken players, because we didn't really have a dedicated Japanese one. And I remember seeing you just super helpful, and then when they gave you like a swag bag, you felt like you had made it. And, like, you got that support. But I mean, that's how it starts. Like, anybody listening, like, to get into the FGC, you know, there's not millions of dollars going around. I'm an exception to the rule of, like, you know, making a living off of it. No, I'm not trying to be, I'm just saying, like, to make a living off of it, you got to be really dedicated. But just you helping out of your own free will to commentate for these players. Now, look, you know, you're already in Melbourne, right? So that kind of probably saves them on budget. But, you know, but you got to commentate the, you know, this Oceania Championships event, get that official support for Pokemon. And Pokemon is a very easy company to work with, but you got to be like tip top professional shape and, you know, be good with people of all ages and stuff like that. So you were super helpful there. And just to see you here has been awesome. So thank you. And then you commentated this weekend. So yeah, Chef, as I like to call you.
Yeah.
You know, before Pokken, talk about your FGC history a bit.
I've been going to tournaments for like almost like 11 years now, and just playing. I've been a scrub at every single game, basically, is the the goal. You know, I've been scrubbing more games than people have been good at. But I guess just at some point, I was at Evo, actually, and I got super sick in Vegas, because I always get super sick in Vegas, and I was lying on the couch in my hotel room, and actually I was watching Suicune Master on the Pokken stream, because, you know, I was, like, upstairs, but I was just watching the stream, and I was like, oh, man, that looks cool. I could do that. And so then I was like, then I picked up Suicune, and then the Pokken community was just literally, like, the most friendly, helpful community I've ever been in. So my little story is that I'm a decently known commentator, I guess I could say, for, like, a lot of different games, and I went and we went to a NorCal SoCal tournament for Pokken, and Alistair, actually, he walks up to me and he says, oh, hey, I'm a big fan of yours. And I thought maybe he meant from, like, commentary, but he's like, yeah, I watch you play Suicune all the time at Wednesday Night Fights. And I'm a scrub. I'm a super scrub. I'm terrible at the game. I'm still terrible, but I was especially terrible back then. And I was like, oh, wow, it's, like, the nicest thing I've ever heard, because he's, you know, he was known as one of the best Suicunes back then, too, and still is, obviously, but especially back then. And I was like, wow, that's awesome. This guy's super famous, and, like, he's just being friendly to me, and, like, him and Vuvo, and they all taught me how to play Suicune a lot better. And so, yeah, just a great community, and I've never left, because it's just not one of those communities you ever want to leave.
Yeah, and speaking of Alistair, who told him we were recording this podcast? Because all of a sudden I got a tweet, he's like, looking forward to the podcast. I'm like, how does he specifically know I'm doing a Pokin podcast? Anyways.
What?
Really? Yeah. I was like, the stalker. Maybe he assumed I was going to do one because I'm in another country. But no, so speaking of Alistair, shout outs to you, dude. Super helpful. Always promoting the game, pushing it. And, you know, the reason I think Street Fighter has always been the most successful, like, competitive IP outside of, like, Smash is, you know, the top players. You know the Daigos, the Tokidos, and all that. They're there. Like, Alistair, I always consider just that forefront of community help and all that. Like, you guys are great at commentary, but we don't know you so much as the players, you know? So big shout-outs to Alistair as well. But, you know, Pokin, like you said, I love working in this community. It's just, it's easy. Everyone listens. Everyone's on time. Like, everyone was early. They were there before me. I was like 10 minutes before the call time. I'm like, why is everyone already here? So I'm not used to that. But, you know, just poking. It is, you know, a small turnoff for tournaments. I know the game sold very well. I think it sold like million copies. Easy to get into too on the Switch, especially with the dojo mode, the combo modes, which I was trying to learn today playing Gunk, and stuff like that. But, you know, just a really passionate community. And it's great that Pokemon is still supporting it, you know, 4 years later with these official tours. And when a developer comes in and still supports their game after that long, that's a really good sign of how much they care about, how much they care about the community and stuff. Mm-hmm. So you said, your little brother won. I remember he had the artwork and the belt at CEO. And then Pokemon's like, is that official artwork? We need to take that out of the picture. I'm like, no. So Pokemon's very strict and, like, you know, telling players, like, you can't wear that shirt. We got to cover you up with a XXL. official shirt, play Pokemon and stuff. But yeah, not that they're strict. It's just it's a beautiful IP they got to protect. So your brother, you know, he played it. You were supporting him and stuff. How'd you kind of get your first commentary gig in doing this?
There was just a need for it. There was a lot of events that were just happening because it was a fighting game, right? And there, we have majors all over the country, right? So Pokin being one of the newer things back in the Wii U days, earlier on in the scene, just there was a need for commentary. Sometimes at tournaments there'd only be one person there, and that one person was trying to carry commentary, and then they would like be like, I have to play a tournament now, can somebody come in and start talking? And then like the stream runner would show up on tournament and start talking. Like, crazy.
Team Spooky used to do that. He'd be running the stream and commentating into the mic. You wouldn't even see him in the picture of the commentator view. Just like, who's that god voice, you know?
Spooky actually is my favorite commentator of all time.
Oh, he's amazing. I actually did like an hour with him. So I forgot which event, but
I'm jealous.
Yeah. I got to do one with Seth Killian once, who was one of my idols in the FGC. Yeah, it was Street Fighter 4. I think it was a Combo Breaker or something. He carried me, but you know, that was a treat as well. Because commentary, you know, you got into it because there was a need, obviously. And a lot of local events host Pokin. I've had it at DreamHack on the community side, and we had Dan Fumu. Huge help from Pokin Arena and that community as well. And it's just your community. Like, I've worked with a lot of different communities. You guys are just always ready to help and support the game. And it's a shame sometimes, right, when you have a really great game, great community, and there's not enough entrants to, you know, have mm-hmm. other events. So, like, Evo had it 1 year, had over 1,000 players. But logistically, it can be a nightmare with 2 screens and, you know, stuff like that. But so you got into the commentary with that. Michael, you said you've always been around the FGC and stuff. Tell us a little bit about, like, the scene here. And quick joke, I remember seeing as people started following me from the Poke community here, it was like 17th best player in Australia, 13th best player in Australia. Like, how are they ranking themselves in this kind of a distant area from everywhere else?
In terms of Pokin, I think it's to do with the weekly rankings and, of course, major placements. We only have like 2 majors happening, like, you know, in Australia, because it's not a really big community, unfortunately.
Where do the weeklies happen?
In NekoCards in Melbourne Central. So if you're, you know, a Victorian like person, like, you can check it out.
Yeah.
But otherwise, like with FGC here, then, you know, it's actually still quite small compared to, like, you know, the FGC in America is the bustling.
Yeah.
And FGC in Japan. So it's just like, I don't know, everyone is like good friends. They're friends outside of the game. They, you know, they lift together, if you know what I mean.
Powerlift. I don't know where he was going with that. Yes. For the record, I started lifting again, guys. Hopefully I'll be in ring shape for CEO this year. But yeah, anyways. Continue. Lifting.
Yeah,
so, Jesus, my pinky could lift you. Yeah. By the way, Michael has been deemed my son, and he keeps calling me dad. Because literally, like, every time I saw him, like, are you lost, little boy? Like, in the tournament. I think I did that to you at Worlds. They're not like a douche.
It's fine. Like, everyone does it to me all the time. I just get a kick out of it because it's just so funny. Because
and you're smarter than most of us because you speak, what, like 2 languages? 3 languages?
Four.
Yeah. Oh, really? So Japanese, English, what else?
Indonesian and Mandarin Chinese.
Indonesian's a language?
Yeah, Bahasa.
I didn't know that. Yeah. Okay, nice.
That's actually my native language, but anyway.
That's awesome. Okay, yeah.
That aside, yeah, I was in the community more so as a, like, I was a pretty decent player in most of the games that we played, not in Tekken. I'm actually better now in Tekken than ever before, but, like, in Street Fighter 4, I was fairly decent.
We need to play sometime, yeah.
Yeah, in, yeah, Street Fighter, I was fairly decent, and that's because I knew the top players in, like, Melbourne, you know. Ali's youngest brother, Sol, he's actually probably the top player in Australia, especially towards the end of the game's lifespan. And we also know Toxie, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yep. He was an X-Men vs. Street Fighter champion, so I actually knew him personally when we played, you know, Street Fighter and so on, and we would hang out in the weeklies. And yeah, in that community, I expanded to the Tekken community, started playing Tekken, even though, like, I sucked at it.
What characters did you use?
In Tekken?
Yeah.
I main Jin. I main Raven first, then now I main Jin. So.
Nice, cool.
And finally, Jin's electric launches, shout out to that. Like, you know, like, that should have been how it should have been. Yeah. And, you know, like, now that it launches, I'm all Gucci. But yeah, apart from that, I'm also, like, you know, I played Blaze Blue as well. I played, like, I tried to dabble in KOF, but there wasn't really a KOF scene. After, like, I was dabbling in the newer KOF games, not like KOF 2002.
Yeah,
1998, Ultimate, yeah. Those games are, like, infinitely popular in, like, China and, like, Asian regions. But
Mexico.
Like, in here... Yeah, Mexico as well, of course. Like, shout to them.
True story, because that's the only machines they could get. KOF machines. No, it's true. The reason why every Mexican player is good at KOF is because those are the machines that arcades could not just afford, but import and get. Like, it wasn't as easy to get Street Fighter cabinets and stuff. So that's why you always see the jokes of, like, KOF players, like, they've never won an American event because they can't get back into the country. But thanks, Trump. But you think of it's. I'm not trying to be rude, guys. It's actually true. Some guys had visa issues trying to compete still. But anyways, Bala.
I actually forgot about KOF.
Yeah, I know. Dude, one of the hypest finals was Bala and Mad KOF, one of the guys from there.
Yep.
Yeah,
so KOF's a great game. Play KOF. KOF, as we call it in America. But yeah, so back to Melbourne. Like, there's no arcades here, obviously, right?
There used to be two major ones in Melbourne alone. It's the Box Hill, which everyone would get to on Tuesday because we have the Tuesday specials and, like, you know, it's like $1 per play.
It's still here or no?
It's not there anymore. Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, the business model is not very feasible for the population density.
Are there barcades here though? Like, besides that GG Easy I hear about?
Well, the thing is, I actually left Melbourne to study overseas for like 6 years. And I went to China, Shanghai to, you know, improve my Chinese.
Nice.
For 2 years. And after that, I went to Japan for 4. And I dabbled with FGC. I never really got into the FGC, but I would, like, frequent, like, you know, the Shinjuku
Taito station. Yep.
And I would see, like, you know, really famous people like Nemo. I've seen, like, Mago. Even though I've seen them beforehand, like, the first time I saw them was the first Shadowloo Showdown when Gamer B, Tokido, and Mago came down.
Yep.
And at that time, like, I spoke non-existent Japanese. Now I'm, like, translating for, like,
everyone. Which is awesome. Yeah. It's so not funny. Easy, man, to learn and then translate within 5 years, you know, and stuff, yeah. So.
But, like, I've always had passion for the languages, and, it was one of my dreams to actually, like, live there, and, I consider myself really lucky to have that sort of opportunity. And, I actually got to know, like, Ali Brothers, you know, Sol, Boss Logic. And whatever Ali's name is, they call him Max or some lame stuff like that.
Superman,
you're lame,
or something.
Ali.
Yeah, he's
but
huge.
I still love you. But
yeah. Anyway, supposed to see him on Tuesday. We're gonna go work out together. It's gonna
tell
be
him
great.
I love him.
I will.
And
be like, who's Midori? No,
now it's actually funny because you know how you're saying like I was like a kid. That was like my handle because everyone called me kid, and even though I wasn't like this guy's like the fake kid. It's just like. So I'm just like, screw it, I'm just gonna call myself kid.
Yeah.
So like in tournaments, like back then in the Street Fighter 4 days, I would like just sign up as kid or like like that's what like the top players here called me, and then it just stuck, and then
did it bother you though at the end of the day? Like
not really. I just owned up to it, and I'm just like, you know what, if that's what they want to call, if that makes you happy, then just call me that. Like,
but at least they recognize you by something. That's not really making fun of you. It's just, you know, an age thing.
Whatever. Yeah, absolutely.
So. And what's wrong with looking young the rest of your life, man?
Yeah.
That's a blessing.
We're all
I'm balding over here. Jesus.
Yeah, well, it is what it is. And I appreciate it, to be honest, because like I experienced things that otherwise I wouldn't have. You know, being average people.
But just can you experience rated R movies?
You guys can't see this, but Midori is like barely 5.
There's this thing. There's this thing called ID cards.
Nice. Yeah. Fake IDs. Yeah,
that does me wonder.
Well, it's drinking age is 18 in Australia, right?
Yeah.
Like, so you've lived in Japan, and by the way, when you bring up like Mago, I played with them at Taito Station, and they have the head-to-head cabinets, but you can't see each other without standing up and walking around. I was beating him. Like, we were going back and forth. He's a way better player. But every time I'd beat him, I'd stand up, walk around like, ha-ha, and he'd just look at me with the biggest smile. And then by the time it was the next round, I'd get back and he'd take the first hit before I could hit him. Before I could even sit down just to shut me up.
What a scumbag.
But like, so like you say, you've been to Japan. Like, tell us a little bit about Melbourne. Like, to people that have never been to Australia, like me personally, like the people are amazing. The weather's been awesome while I've been here. The scenery's been great. The food's okay until we had the party food tonight, which you guys left for.
The food that we had was
okay. I do have to say that you missed both of the amazing meals that we had because you didn't follow Midori. He gave all true. Of all right. the best suggestions.
So Midori, write out my plans the next 3 days.
The double salute.
I'm going to take that picture and that's going to be the album art. Midori's flicking me off over here. I got to start doing these on Twitch now. God dang it now. All right, so anyways, food, all that stuff. But like you said, a great community. Everyone's connected and stuff. So you do have a place, though. I remember when I was saying I'm coming here, what's going on? I think there was an event Saturday too, wasn't there? Like a local tournament? While we were having Pokken?
I'm not 100% knowledgeable on that because like I've been out of touch. I actually did go to BAM and a lot of people's like, you know, a lot of people recognize me.
BAM's
like,
in Melbourne, wait. Right?
Like, yeah. It was in Melbourne. It was a Bell Arena Melbourne. It happens every year. It's a major. Yep. They host like Tekken.
Everyone calls themselves a major these days.
No, we only have like very few because like we say, we're not as big as like America or like Japan, which is like the two FGC giants.
It's all right. You still have more than SoCal.
Yeah. Really?
Well, you guys don't even have a major this year. I mean,
I know.
It will bounce back.
Anime Ascension. We had Anime Ascension. It was great this weekend.
Which is hype, man. You know, it's funny. I mentored the guy who runs it, Mike from Axis.
Yeah.
Always asked me your advice. He's like, why do you TO, man? This is the most miserable shit I've ever done. Because it's hard. It's not easy. But yeah, I always give him advice and stuff. But I was reading some of the tweets like core values and free water and yada yada. But which is a requirement now, you know. But people, a lot of events already have it. You just don't talk about it until you don't have it.
Yeah. DOA 6 CEO, by the way, just saying.
Yeah. It's going to be, I'm sure, at a lot of events, hopefully. I'm excited for that game. But yeah, so that's a bit about Melbourne. Just give me food recommendations later. Back to Chef, right? So Chef,
see you later.
Your name is Chef. You have proven that you have some culinary talents, barely.
these people here don't know what gnocchi is. And like,
oh, the Italian thing.
Yeah. Well, I had to explain it. It wasn't even that much technology. Anyway, keep going.
Yeah, no. So anyways, so tell me a little bit about you. Like, you know, you're in Pokken, you're commentating, you guys will hopefully do the rest of the events we have, like Worlds and stuff.
I don't know about that, actually. Yeah. I mean, honestly, so this is my first official Pokken event. There are some other...
How did you get that introduction, by the way? How did you get here?
So I was just driving home, and I got a DM from DC, and he was like, hey...
It's because DC and D1 was sick.
Can I send you some information on an event? And I was like, okay. All of a sudden, there was an NDA there, and I'm like, oh my gosh, what is this?
When was this? Like a lot
it was like a month ago.
Okay,
like, I barely was able to make this tournament. I had to renew my passport and get my visa and everything.
You expedited it?
Oh, yeah. Passport? Oh, yeah. I expedited overnight it there two and weeks, back. Right? Oh, yeah.
Even with the government shutdown, I'm impressed.
I was terrified. It didn't actually make it that much slower. But, so I really didn't expect it because this is my first ever. And previously there was, we've had D1 and Burnside and H2. Those have been pretty much the core. Am I missing somebody? Was there one more person for something?
I mean, before that there was DC, right?
DC was doing it.
JC's done it before.
DC, by the way, went to Evo Japan.
Yeah. And then, of course, Fish was doing it.
Yeah, I saw him in Evo Japan last year. And I was actually still in Japan last year.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Now it's in Fukuoka. Have you been there before?
I have actually.
So, outside of Evo Japan, right, which probably made people realize that there's something else besides Tokyo for gaming and such.
Yeah.
If you're a Japanese person living there, like, what do people think about Fukuoka as, like, just living there? Is that, like, a destination to visit, or is it like an Osaka type? Like, what is it like?
It's the third biggest city after Osaka, actually.
Oh, I didn't know that.
A little bit more quiet.
What's the second? Tokyo?
Osaka.
So Tokyo's first, then Osaka?
Tokyo's first, then Osaka's second.
And what about Kyoto?
Kyoto is just next to Osaka, like 30 okay. minutes away. So it's, you know, it's basically Osaka.
Osaka yeah, yeah. plus.
Yeah. A lot of Kyoto people shoot.
So when I go back, go to Osaka. <right? Yeah. laughs> But we'll have a Japanese version of this podcast translated by Midori. Oh, available tomorrow. No.
He's going to filter some stuff out.
Yeah. Arigato gozaimasu.
But yeah, Fukuoka, more quiet and like, you know, there's some famous foods from Fukuoka, so lots of people go there.
Saw a lot of good food pictures from Evo Japan this weekend.
Yeah. But Tokyo has most of the, you know, all-rounded things, but then like if you want fresh seafood, you either got to go all the way north to Hokkaido or all the way south to Fukuoka, and you get all the fresh seafood and so on. Actually, sushi and sashimi in Tokyo,
like Tsukiji market,
Tsukiji is still good. That's still like high quality, but compared to the markets in you know, up north and up south and down south, it's actually not as good, believe it or not. But Tsukiji is like up there, but then there's a top above that.
Do they have arcades in Fukuoka at all?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, like, that kind of business model still works in Japan. So, like, you still find, like, arcades everywhere. It's the culture, really. Like, in here, the population density doesn't, you know, it can't support that. But, however, in Japan, like, everything is so densely packed, which is also one of the reasons why their internet is so good. It's, like, you know, 100 megabytes per second, like, even... That's considered mediocre connection or something.
Yeah.
Like, you can have, like, 1 gigabyte.
I have a gig now in my house.
It's actually
insane. The line's literally
insane.
On my back porch.
Exactly. So
H2's
like,
in Ohio, so they don't have internet yet.
I'm sad. Yeah.
So, Fukuoka, I think it's just a smaller city compared to Tokyo, less bustling. People are friendlier, more down-to-earth in general. Not so individualistic, and, you know, people aren't, like, rushing to go somewhere like in Tokyo.
Yeah. And I was just in Japan actually 2 weeks ago. So,
yeah, and
arcades, it's incredible, dude. I was playing Ultra Street Fighter 4. That was like my hotel is like a mile away. Just every night going to the arcade, playing Street Fighter 4 with guys in their business suits, and then going back to my hotel room and crying about losing to guys in their business suits. But
trying to relive your glory days.
No, I actually do pretty well. I'm over there, but I can never remember to bring my Nessica card when I travel. I gotta like recreate a new account and stuff. But anyways, yeah.
So they'll just mistaken you for like a 5,000 BP scrub.
Pretty much. Oh god, last time I went, there was an American there with a face mask on, because that's, you know, popular over there, and he was cursing every time he lost. He's like, "Can't believe this bastard's doing that over and over." And I'm sitting there, and I'm trying not to laugh. I'm like, the game's like 12 years old. If you're not relaxed playing it by now, dude, you have issues. But I was just laughing. He was literally like cursing, and you couldn't see his mouth move, but you could hear it because of the mask. And I was right next to him, like, oh my god, I think I need to leave before this guy fights somebody. That was pretty funny. But anyways, so that's, we're in Melbourne, obviously, Australia. Like, this is everyone's first time, besides, of course, Midori to Australia. What have you thought of the area?
My second time.
Oh, you went to Sydney
last time. But this is my first time in Melbourne.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Sydney last time. I think Melbourne's...
Both
sorry,
times you
Sydney.
Told me, yeah.
Melbourne or Melbourne?
Well, Melbourne is the local pronunciation.
You keep saying Melbourne. Oh, I don't know that. It's Melbourne?
Yeah, Melbourne is for scrubs.
Yeah.
God, so it's like New Orleans. Everyone, if you say New Orleans,
Illinois.
You're an idiot. It's
Illinois.
New Orleans.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like the way Roxo pronounces it. Shout out to Roxo.
We're getting off track now. Back to Pokken. No. Besides, like, Pokken Worlds this year, like, how many other events are still hosting it that you're aware of? Like, is it only
so
reason?
Frosty just had it.
Frosty actually
had the top player from Europe, the current top player from Europe,
nice.
Show up, and he actually took the tournament over last year's official Pokken circuit
world champion.
Did
they Elm was there? No.
Not Elm.
No Japanese players were there.
Was it 3v3 mode or single player?
Single player.
See, obviously, 3v3 mode, from what I was witnessing, people were enjoying it. I think it kind of maybe scared off players that didn't want to like enter because, like, I don't know, three Pokemon characters in the game, but kind of fits that Pokemon feel of the game of like having multiple Pokemon in your arsenal. Like commentating it, obviously it changed things up. You have to think of more than one character per match. What did you think of it after commentating an entire official tournament for 3v3 mode? Do you think it's good for the game? Do you think it's fun? Is it a nice change of pace? Tell me about it.
I thought it was very different, and it gave me a lot more to talk about than what I'm used to. So there's a whole different meta that applies when you have three different characters that you can run, and then of course you have your assist set and then your cheer skill, which are maybe too nuanced for this discussion, but yeah, there's a whole different set of rules that basically apply to this. And then you have this whole idea of carrying over meter to characters. So obviously meter is very prevalent in fighting games, and in this case your meter is kind of like a lifeline. It gives you a safe DP effectively, where you can get out of pressure for free. And then of course you have like reversal supers and stuff that are safe in this game. So it's just,
I had a couple people with those.
You hit me with one of them, you jerk. You also did something really hype in the crew battle, so
a few times.
A few times.
I still lost. But yeah. Anyways. But everyone was entertained.
Yeah. So. Japan carried you.
You still won.
Yeah, we did. Dude. Japan!
You lost, but you still won.
Seeing the smiles on their faces when I was just having fun with them was the greatest thing of the weekend for me. Just how happy they were and cross and, you know. Anyways, so yeah. So 3v3, continue.
Yeah, a lot to talk about. And I mean, I could go into the nuances about it, but basically the point that I want to get over is that 1v1 is awesome. It's spectacular. It's what we've known for a long time, but 3v3 is something fresh, and it's definitely new, and I know that people were definitely terrified of it initially based off the initial reaction, but I think what we've seen so far is that it's definitely something very viable, very entertaining, and it gives a different set of players who maybe have a more broad skill set a chance to shine, like we saw James Abel shine in this tournament, who had the hypest moment of the tournament with his Pikachu. Absolutely incredible play. I recommend you guys go check out James Abel on twitch.tv/pokentournament.
Oh, now the grab water pulse is like, gets DP, it doesn't matter, water pulse again. Like, just, command grab, right? Yeah. Gets uppercutted, command grabs again. Just dashes up, command grab again. I'm just like, what's going on?
Either way, single player 3v3, doesn't matter. Japanese are still going to win.
Not last year, my guy.
What, in Oceania, you mean?
No, Worlds.
The championship. Thanks a lot, won.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, my bad.
You were there.
Yes, I was there. I was hosting it, but I don't watch the game.
He was singing.
I watched the game. I was watching every match today. I had no choice. You've come from, you know, Mortal Kombat single player games mostly. Yeah. You never played like KOF or CBS2, did you?
I did not play CBS2, but I did play KOF.
Okay, so you understand the 3v3.
Yeah, format. I mean, I've played a lot of team games. You know, I played Marvel 3 and Forward. I mean, there's just been plenty, basically. So I get team games for sure.
Yeah, so DC, shout outs to your inside story, Pokken community. Please don't tweet at him about it. If you do, I'll block you. I was talking about, like, with DC. He's like, yeah, I'm going to do it. Or it was basically up to him, like, change up. And I actually agree with that. I thought it was really cool, different approach. But then when the feedback came in, like, it was half and half, right? But you're always going to not ignore, but, like, the people that appreciate stuff, you're going to be thankful. But once you see the negativity, you're just like, God dang it, what did I do? Did I do something wrong, you know? And he was like, can I go back? And Chris is like, no take backs. It's the corporate world now. You made your decision. But in the end, I think it worked out. So, DC, shout outs to you for that decision that you were afraid of. But I think it'll be cool to see. And then, you know, end of the season, who knows, change it back up or something. And it didn't take much longer either. Honestly, it only took maybe like an extra 3-4 minutes, like you said earlier, to do a match. We got through the finals, I think, in 3.5 hours, which is about right.
It was
started at 9:30 sharp. Quick. We ended, I think, by like 12:45, so 3 hours, 15 minutes, which is good from Pokken standards. Before Pokken itself, did you guys ever play any Pokemon games?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Okay, 100%.
Everyone did.
That's the only reason you're into the game, right? Because it is Pokemon characters and it's relatable?
Yeah, pretty much. So. And I was also obsessed with the card game when I was in elementary school and they actually banned it.
Oh, is it when, what's the Machamp's base form? I forget.
Machop
had low kick and it's like 50 HP low kick 20. He's like, yep, those days. Bill, draw 2 cards, yep.
Yeah, the yep. OG stuff. Yeah. Like,
oh my god.
So yeah, low kick because you obviously stuff. Can't do a high kick. That's why you adapted so, or that's why you loved it so much.
Actually, for me, I did play all the Pokemon games, like a ton of them, and I love Pokemon.
Yellow, Red,
but,
all that, yeah.
Oh yeah, literally every single one. But I primarily played it because I'm a fighting game guy. And yeah. I was like, oh, this looks sick.
And I'm playing it, guys. Honestly, it's on the Switch. It's available. Lots of training modes, you know. And online, as we discussed, is actually pretty solid for it. So don't hesitate to pick up the game if you're listening to this podcast. At least check it out. I think, personally, like, I notice everything, right? As a TO, I walk around. I see what people are thinking and doing and playing. And the whole weekend, I think Pokken's the most engaging game for, like, just Pokemon fans in general. They're like, this looks badass. Like, let me go check this out, you know. So a lot of people were playing it. They just didn't enter the turn because they were probably too scared, obviously. But it's such a fun game that I wish, you know, it's 4 years old, right? You got to come to the reality that games can only last as long as their community wants to keep it. I keep supporting it, but you guys still support it. You know, people are always like, why is it not CEO? I'm like, because if I'm not as official as I was with the $10,000 pop bonuses, I feel bad, right? Mm-hmm. I don't want people to go like, you know, of course you guys would still support, but it's always around the same time as the other big Pokken events.
All
stuff.
I hear is excuses.
You ran it on the side.
Yeah, I still ran on the side. Shush. So I just have to ask for switches. But yeah,
just win them.
That's easier now. Smash Ultimate's out.
Yeah, and it's so funny reading like just this whole weekend's been a big blow up in the fighting game world between upcoming Mortal Kombat 11 and the Summit of Time that's coming out, which is a really cool. It's basically a house that does like these real world type with video games, and they're doing Mortal Kombat. And all the best Mortal Kombat players are like, if I'm not on the show, man, it's bullshit. Like, dude, wait till they announce stuff, you know?
Yeah, there's like a leaked list, and that's it so far. And there's already so much drama. It's been like 12 hours. Oh, boy.
Social media drama, right? But we're here having fun in the flesh at an event, so screw all the drama, right? Okay. So to kind of end this podcast and stuff, we covered Poke and all that, Australia again. I'm here for a couple more days. You guys are going back home. Midori's going to show me around. That way I can take him to a theme park and get on the rides faster. check out the kiddie rides.
Thanks, Dad.
Yeah, no problem.
You can just put a boot on and they'll think you're handicapped.
I know. Dude, I honestly should abuse it still because I still limp with my ankle, guys. By the way, update, like I'm fully walking again, but I still limp from time to time and I can't run. I can't jump high like I used to and stuff. And like when I go through the airport and it's like miserable getting on the plane, I'm like, why aren't I still abusing this and saying I'm handicapped, you know, and sit at the front automatically?
Dad, just train your legs.
Huh? Yeah, I know. Yeah. I don't skip leg day anymore. I can't. That's why I've been like walking around as much as I can in Melbourne and stuff. And it's a safe area, so it's been great. But yeah, recovering from that. But yeah, I need to put that boot back on. Just get through. It's just annoying, dude. I don't want to abuse or I want to recover as fast as possible. But yeah, so we're all here in Australia. Three of us are going home this week. You're still going to stick around, Midori. What's next for you, Midori? Like in Melbourne, besides school and everything you're doing? You're done school, aren't you?
I'm done with school.
Yeah,
I'm
old. So yeah, that's really not to me.
He just graduated middle school.
I know, right?
I'm your son, but I'm still old.
Go to your room. What's your call? But so what's next for you, like in terms of Pokken and gaming and stuff?
I just want to support the community as much as I can. So like helping the community grow. I actually did promise myself that I would do something for the community this year. And I mean, I've technically already achieved that goal because Pokemon, as you know, they kindly gave me this opportunity, just landed right here. And then I'm just like, yes, of course. Like,
yeah,
with the commentary, getting to translate for Cross and Elm, you know, Japanese top players. I seem to be getting a lot of appreciation. Like, this is like my hobbies, just like H2, you know, like we're here, this is our hobbies. We didn't expect to get, like, speaking for myself, I didn't expect to get this much out of the experience.
Yeah, you guys got swag and I didn't.
Somebody's bitter.
Yeah. Hey, say who gave you part of the swag.
Chef Shout actually hooked me up with his play mat.
There you go.
I'm going to use that for shelter. No, but I did get the only bag at Worlds. I felt so bad. But anyways, so continue.
Yeah, so other than
I remember too, because quick story, Midori, he was so helpful at Nashville, they hooked him up with stuff, right? They couldn't obviously pay you because you were on the spot and stuff.
Yeah.
But like, they got hooked you up with stuff. So the moment I saw you here, you're wearing your Nashville shirt they gave you. You're wearing the backpack that only a few people got. And I'm just like, he's so happy to be here right now. I can only, you know.
Yeah, man. I was like a school kid. I just needed like a Pikachu lollipop or something.
Yeah. You know what Pokemon's missing? I'm a statue collector. I collect Marvel statues, fighting Street Fighter, all that stuff. There's not enough Pokemon statues to go around. It's all plushies. You know, from like an official standpoint, like I noticed things like that. Like I went to Dubai and you know that Pokemon face, the like surprised face that's on Twitter? They had like this money bank that was custom made, like ghetto custom made. And it literally was that face and I bought it. And like this is the only Pokemon statue I actually have. Like they need to have like a diorama of like Pikachu and like Bulbasaur fighting or something, or Charizard, stuff like that. But
actually, not so secret. You want to know how you can get some of that stuff?
Make it.
Win some events.
Oh, shut up. Yeah. The trophies are pretty badass. Yeah.
Well,
as an employee, I'm not allowed to enter. Lucky you guys. I actually want to go home and play just to, at Masters or Worlds, just be like, hey guys, I'm bodying all of you now. That was pretty fun though. Just of seeing people tweet about, like, Jabali plays this game? I didn't know he had a gunk. I'm like, I didn't have one either. So Midori, thank you, dude, for all your help to the Pokken community. Chef, again, you know, you're relatively new to it, but doesn't disqualify you from anything. When you're in SoCal, right, like with Wednesday night fights and stuff, mm-hmm. they still run weeklies and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Is Pokken usually there?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, up in the Valley, we have a bi-weekly. It is at Worlds Collide, which is right next to Cal State Northridge. And then we also have a bi-weekly at the Chinese Theater in Hollywood. And that's where 2GG runs Hollywood Action Tuesdays. So,
The actual famous Chinese Hollywood thing where the movies used to take place?
Yeah.
Like Last Action Hero type stuff?
It's like, so that theater is actually connected to an actual movie theater.
Oh, yeah.
And in the actual movie theater portion of it, in the lobby, 2GG runs a Smash and Pokken tournament single week.
Because they don't do it anymore at the other place, right?
They do it actually at like a lot of places. They have Mega Smash Mondays in like Huntington Beach. They have Hollywood Action Tuesdays. Yeah. They have Wednesday Night Fights. They've got their online Thursday tournaments. They've got, then there's like Falcon Punch Fridays and, I don't know. There's a bunch of tournaments. It's
Thank God I don't do weeklies and stuff, man. I have no life at all. I wish I could. Like, Florida's still huge. Like, we still have a great community. Just I'm always gone. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to trust people with your legacy and, like, do stuff and find a venue. Venue's the hardest part in Orlando.
Oh, yeah.
I wish I had a freaking esports arena in Orlando. Like, Full Sail, actually, a college nearby, is building one. And I'm meeting with them. Yeah, they're supposed to do a Smash event there. I won't talk about that in detail, but and stuff. So we'll see how it goes. So, thank you for that. Mortal Kombat 11, though, between you and me, you excited?
Oh, yeah.
I love how it's kind of back to 9. It's kind of slower pace, and I'm just not a variation fan, personally. Like, I just want to learn a character, and that's it. I don't want options with my character. I just want to learn how to win, and that's it.
It'll be all right. It'll be pretty simple. But also, can we talk about how going from Pokemon to Mortal Kombat is
probably... Yeah, this is a rated E podcast.
It's a podcast. It's rated what I rate it.
Rated Jabali.
I'll, like, publish it, and I have 2 minutes later an email from Pokemon, like, we're going to have to cut you loose, sir. I'm like, what? How did you hear it? They just have, like, a bot program that, like, scans.
Somebody set us up the bomb.
I know, right? Yeah, I want to use the spy in here. Mortal Kombat 11 should be exciting in April. Pokken, they released 2 DLC packs. Blastoise came out, December, November, or earlier than that?
Blastoise came out before Oceania last year, and he was not
that
legal.
Long ago. Yeah. Jeez, okay. So probably no updates then if nothing's happened since then. But
There's been a couple minor patches that have introduced some additional options for some characters and some bug fixes. But yeah, for the most part, just minor things.
Cool. Hopefully they continue to do something with it. But I think, you know, you got into Worlds, right, guys? So now's the time. If you're in an area and you hear about Pokken, check it out. Because they haven't really announced what's going on in America with Pokken stuff. But the LCQ will be in D.C., obviously, in August. I don't think they announced the dates yet. If you want to just go play, hang out with the community, really good community and stuff, and then if you love Pokemon, it's a great event. Just buy your tickets early, because that stuff always sells out and stuff. But yeah, so what's next for you, H?
So the next official thing that I have planned is I have an event that I'm going to be TOing later on in the summer that is not yet announced, so I can't really talk too much about it. I did the same thing last year, though, so if you put 2 and 2 together, it's going to be pretty obvious.
Well, if you need advice how to TO a 30-man tournament, just ask your guy.
Mister, I'm going to struggle to be able to run this small
tournament. Dude, I was actually genuinely, I wasn't really worried, but I was like, this is such a small turn. I hate to say the word small, but like such an easy turnout. It's like, what if I mess up? Like, what if there's a... Challenge, actually.
Legacy over.
I had a bug in Challenge where I couldn't update, and then I had to go back 2 matches. I'm like, wait, who won that an hour ago? I'm like, what? I was like, no! I actually genuinely was, like, sweating. Like, don't mess up now. But, yeah. So you'll be TOing something later, which is great. You know, it goes hand in hand, right? Once you've commentated, TO'd, you can pretty much almost do any of those jobs because you're passionate about the same thing. So it's easy to kind of pick up. But so cool. So, yeah, you guys will all go back home, relax a bit. Hopefully see you in the next Pokken event. But any last words? Tell people how to follow you and stuff. And obviously the usual play Pokken that Alistair would probably tweet anyways.
Hashtag play Pokemon and Pokken specifically. This is H2. H2 Who Are You is my Twitter. You can check me out there. That's the best place to follow me. Check out the Pokken Discord. It's a great place to go and learn about the game. There's a lot of resources. There's character-specific Discords, and there's matchups.
Is that an actual link? Like, is it discord.gg/Pokken tournament or anything like that? Or
yeah, it's, I believe, the Pokken Game Discord. So you can go to Reddit to get to easy. Reddit.com/Pokken Game. Pokken was taken for some reason, so it's Pokken Game, which is bizarre. Also, you know, you can check it out on
relate to something else. Yeah.
Pokin Arena. Don't forget to check out Pokin Arena. Another easy way to get to the Discord. We've got links there. Definitely go check out all those resources, and there's plenty of people to follow.
Nice. And if you need Rosetta Stone for Indonesia, Midori, where can people follow you? Rosetta Stone's a language translation program in America.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah. You never heard of Rosetta Stone?
No, I actually haven't.
Oh, so it's basically a program that makes it easy to learn languages.
Oh, it's from Indonesia? Oh, wow.
No, I don't think it's Indonesia, but I'm sure it has almost every language. It's just called Rosetta Stone. I guess Amazing. It's not a thing out here.
It's going to throw me out of work. But anyways, you guys can follow
me. They have
me
a children's version. Don't worry.
Yep, you guys can follow me at Midori Pokin. Otherwise, you know, I'm just going to do what HG said. Just follow the Pokin YouTube channels, you know, where all the matches, especially the pro matches, the matches that will be today, the grand finals will probably be uploaded in the Pokemon official YouTube,
yeah, definitely check out the official Pokemon YouTube. That video is almost at 2 million views for last year's grand finals.
That's awesome.
It's insane.
Yeah, if for anybody out there who isn't familiar with Pokin, if you want to be familiar with Pokin, that is the one video you should watch. 2018 World's Grand Finals, check that out.
Yep. And shout outs to my beautiful girlfriend.
And of course, yeah, I've been a little bit out of touch with the Ali brothers, but I've been in touch with Sol recently, so Sol, if you're listening to this, we're going to catch up soon.
I'll see him on Tuesday, so say hello. Chef, my friend?
All right, I'm at EGP Wonder Chef on Twitter. You can follow me for plenty of anime pictures and complaining about my going 0-2 in tournaments. But yeah, definitely Pokin's an amazing game, even if it's your first fighting game or if it's your, I don't know, like 20th fighting game like it is for me. It's definitely one of the best to get into. I mean, even Jabailey could pick it up and win some rounds off of that, right?
So that's really give me a month. Something. Yeah, give me
all
a
right,
month.
All right. We'll see. Maybe, maybe at the next big tournament.
Yeah.
Jabailey said that he'll body all of us once he knows all of the moveset. You heard it.
And once first. I know how to punish every other character, it's game
that's
over.
That's why he's world champion in Tekken, isn't that right?
World champion and other stuff. Anyways, well, thank you guys for tuning in. Sorry. Hopefully I can get out another episode soon. Next up for me is, Australia. I'm going to spend a couple days here. Check it out because I'm tired of flying, 20 hours somewhere and then leaving the very next day after it's over. So I'm going to hang out for a few days in Australia. Then as soon as I get back, I'll be launching a lot of DreamHack related stuff. DreamHack Dallas is coming up in May. But my next trip is actually once I'm home for 6 days. Then I go to San Diego for the Vitrix Pro reveal party. They're launching their brand new arcade stick. It's an expensive stick, but it's like the Ferrari of arcade sticks. It's a baller stick. They gave me a prototype. I've been using it at tournaments and stuff. So that'll be San Diego. Then I'm home for March to hopefully put out some podcasts talking about TOing stuff and kind of give people advice from my, 20 years of experience now. And then next trip will be Korea, actually, in April for a wedding. So never been to Korea. I'm kind of excited for that. But yeah, thanks for tuning in, guys. Shout outs to all of you, the Pokin community. I know you're listening. To Jamesy Bell, all those guys, sorry for picking on you. It was my true pleasure. And I think it was Santa that I beat around.
Oh, yeah, you got Santa with the crown on
Super. I got Santa with the salute, which was awesome. I wish I literally just picked up my phone while everyone was saluting, take the picture, and then go back into the game. But Santa, I'm sorry for breaking your spirit, but cheer up, chap. Take care, guys, and thank you again for listening to this episode of the Japodcast.